It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good morning from a very cool Florida this morning. Well, if you call 50 degrees cool, but it's warming back up to the 70s and by 80 tomorrow. So maybe it's a temporary thing, but it's a little cooler down here this week. Jenny, how you doing in the other room?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm not as good sleeping weather anyway when it gets in the 40s at night.
Yeah, you like doing a little acrobatics in the morning, don't you?
Well, not usually. That's what I get for not paying attention. Now, I tripped over the track to the shower door and fell into the shower, but I'm all right. I'm a little sore, but I'll make it.
Can you whip a cat yet?
No, it'd have to be a slow one.
Oh, okay. Well, but anyway, take some of your meds and your medicines and maybe you'll be all right. Kind of whacked your head there pretty good, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I got a pretty good knot on my... If I didn't have hair on my head, I probably would have bled. It really hit it. Got a boiled egg.
So just take it easy and be a little careful. Dave and Chris, up in Albany. How are Albany? I've got him from Albany to Altoona to...
You moved us again.
Jenny, are you what they call a knothead this morning?
Yeah, I am. I must have a hard head. It didn't bleed.
Well, we're good here. It's about 32, and I think it's going to be cloudy. Well, I don't know if it's... It's not going to get very warm, so I'm guessing it's going to be kind of cloudy all day.
Well, what about Minneapolis, Minnesota? Tim checking in. Tim?
Well, actually, I know you guys don't think this at all, but it's actually warm here. Our high will be about 32, and supposed to be in the 40s by Friday, Saturday. Mm. That's not bad for this time of year for us.
Well, let's swing down to southwestern Indiana. Home of my old alma mater and spent a lot of time in Evansville, Indiana. Mike, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. 41 degrees and you're making jokes about knotheads. We'll say with the holidays, eggnoggin. But yeah, we'll talk about a few tech things going on later on. Nothing immediate, yeah, but some things that hold some promise for 2019.
Yeah, we'll be doing that here in just a moment. Jeffrey, not the least but last, how are you doing?
Doing very well here. What can I say? It's not nice to complain about the weather because we can't change it. But what is interesting is that we're going to get warm weather come Friday and Saturday, and it's going to go up into the 50s, and it's going to rain. The Jets, and they're going to see the same thing in Altoona as well, I think, because the jet stream is all screwed up. So and the warm and the cold air masses aren't what they call colliding with each other, and we're going to actually get warm air sliding in here. So that's going to be interesting. People who like to ski in this area aren't going to be happy about that, Bill.
No, not at all. Well, so Mike, we'll start with you, I suppose, and talk about a couple things. And I'm going to tell you about some new shopping services and some experiences and some transformations I made since I've been down in Florida.
And I'm going to talk about Amazon to go.
Right. And in the second hour, we're going to tease you a little bit, want you to stay around today for the demo. You know, I did the demo or talked about the Libra and how accessible it was for the diabetic. Well, Dave is going to show you, like he did me, on how to put my sensor on my arm independently and do it the right way. So if he can get a dummy like me to do it, you know this demo is going to be pretty good with Dave and Chris. So Mike, what's going on today?
Well, I think your stuff will be more exciting. It's in the here and now. But three things that are coming up that I just wanted to share with folks and really want to try to stay on top of future access technology and what's going on. The first one is Microsoft is making a change to the way they do their web browser. So there will be a much more accessible web browser in 2019. I don't know what they'll call it yet. They're taking the Edge browser and they're going to use what's called Chromium. And you may have heard of Chrome. It's built on a technology called Chromium, which is actually its own standalone web browser that you can download and use right now if you want the latest and greatest without maybe some of the tracking that Google does. So they're going to integrate that and they're going to use what's called UI automation. So basically it's going to make it much more accessible with Narrator, because a lot of people comment about, it's okay to have Narrator, but it's not even the greatest at browsing the web. So they're going to fix that and really come up with a much better accessible web browser. And they're going to make it available not only for Windows 10 as it is now, but go back for Windows 7 and 8 as well. So that should be good. I think they should call it something like IE 2020 or something, because if they keep the Edge name, I don't know if anyone will ever use it. Amazon's doing a new project. I don't know much about it yet, but it's called TextScripts, like transcript, but text scripts. So what it does is they're going to scan a lot of items. I think a lot of products and just different information, make that available. So if you want information on a product, like maybe what's on the front of a box or a can of food or whatever, that information will be available. So that's just beginning. And I think we'll see the fruits of that in 2019. And the third thing, technology that makes up about one out of every three websites, and that's called WordPress, what they call a content management system. And it's been my bread and butter for the last couple of years. So it's been especially of interest and concern to me. But what they did is they updated the editor, create your posts that you put on websites. But the problem, they were in kind of a hurry to get it out. They were concerned with these companies that are kind of biting into their bread and butter, like Wix and Squarespace and these things you may have heard of out there. They came out with this new, they call it a block editor, and it allows you to do all this fancy stuff and take your websites to a new level. But the problem is they broke accessibility in the process, and the leaders of the accessibility, which were volunteering their efforts, they resigned back in October. They had their national conference last weekend in Nashville. So it was kind of interesting to see how people were subdued. Some of them just did not think it was ready to be published. And it was interesting to see all the people that were stepping up to promote and fight for accessibility, but also to be realistic about it and realize that the people that were programming it didn't understand accessibility, and the people that were trying to fix accessibility didn't really understand the new language that it was using called React. So there's so much education and hex has to take place. And it was interesting that some brilliant minds are really working to fight it. And so it's that, to me, is the intriguing part. I think they will have some resolution. I don't think it'll ever be 100%. But for those of you who either do use websites or want to create websites, they have their classic editor that they're going to make available for the next 3 years. But again, it's that retrofitting thing. We hate to use something substandard to what everyone else is using, but just something to share for those who may be using it for their church or blindness organization or what have you. But that's kind of what some stuff that's coming up in the immediate future. But I know Bill and Jeff have some more exciting stuff, especially Bill with shopping and getting food to your door. So I will shut up at this
point. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'll let Jeff go first because he's got something that he's going to play for you, and something that will be coming to your city one of these days, I do believe.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's a service called Amazon Go, and you can find out about it by going to www.amazongo.com, all one word. And they're opening up these stores. They're not supermarkets per se. I call them glorified, like maybe like a Whole Foods, but like a glorified 7-Eleven or glorified Speedway or one of those. They're small stores, essentially. And the idea here is you use the Amazon Go. It's separate from the regular Amazon app that's on your phone now, maybe. But it's an app, it's Amazon Go, and you go in, you can't go into the store without having the app activated on your phone. And I gather from what I was told is you scan your phone or you up where the door is to the store, it opens the door, lets you open the door. You go in and you put your phone back in your pocket when you're at one of these stores. You pick the the things that you'd like, if it's a breakfast or if it's a cupcake or whatever. It scans, it knows with artificial intelligence what you're doing, and it bills you, and you don't have to check out. You don't have to deal with a cashier. They do have staff that will help you. And I do have a video that they produced. I believe there's enough audio here for them to be able to give you an idea of what it's all about. So I'm going to play this and hopefully everyone can hear it. And I think we can all talk about it because this is going to be more and more popular as the years go by. Sam's Club has a Sam's Club that doesn't have cash checkout. You have self-checkout only. And this is going to affect us as blind people. So let's see what this sounds like for Amazon Go.
4 years ago, we started to wonder, what would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go?
What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line? No lines, no checkouts, no registers. Welcome to Amazon Go. Use the Amazon Go app to enter. Then put away your phone and start shopping. It's really that simple. Take whatever you like. Anything you pick up is automatically added to your virtual cart. If you change your mind about that cupcake, just put it back. Our technology will update your virtual cart automatically. So, how does it work? We used computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion, much like you'd find in self-driving cars. We call it Just Walk Out technology. Once you've got everything you want, you can just go. When you leave, our Just Walk Out technology adds up your virtual cart and charges your Amazon account. Your receipt is sent straight to the app, and you can keep going. Amazon Go. No lines, no checkout. No, seriously.
Well, that's it. Amazon Go. And it's going to be interesting to see how this works. Now, the Amazon Go system is available in Chicago, Illinois, San Francisco, and Seattle, Washington. And it definitely will be hitting cities around the country. I'm not sure exactly which ones. And Mike, you were talking about it, that it would also be hitting airports as well. So that's going to be an interesting technology to see how it works. And as I said before, we as blind people are going to have to be aware of this because it is going to affect all of us eventually as to how we shop and how we work in today's society. So that's my input for today on Amazon Go, the new shopping service with Amazon, because they are definitely getting into the brick and mortar area as well.
This bill in Chicago. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
They just opened that store in Chicago, I think this week or it was last week. And the store, you can get into it easy, but it was so busy, they had a line a block and a half long to get in it.
Yes, Bill, I know. And I know someone who was at the store, a person I talked to this past week on another group that I'm involved with.
Right.
But it is going to be the wave of the future, Bill. That's the thing.
I know. But I just think it's a block and a half long to get into the store just to use it. I mean, it's, you know, we got a famous popcorn place there called Garrett's Popcorn, and at Christmas time they'll have 2 block long lines to get into those places. The people ship their popcorn all over, as caramel corn and stuff. But I thought to myself, an Amazon store, and you're all going in to buy the cupcake and some other stuff like that, and then you're going to wait in a block and a half line to get in the store.
Yeah, but just remember, Bill, that the line is only temporary, and once.
Oh, I know. People just trying it out. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't stand in line for. I won't even stand in line at a restaurant for a table. I'll go somewhere else. I mean, I'm not the type of that.
But you know what gets me? Like for example, we order stuff from QVC. I know Chris and Dave, you guys order stuff from QVC. I'd like to be able to, instead of calling them on the phone, I'd like to be able, or using the website, I'd like to be able to have a way to go back with my cable remote and push a button on the remote. And it has the item on the screen. And if I want to order that particular item, push a button and boom, I've already set up my profile.
I got it. Okay, Jeff, I got to tell you something. I've got a new Amazon Fire Cube, okay?
Okay.
And the Fire Cube, everything on the TV is audible. You know, everything on the screen, it tells you what's on the screen. And you click the button, and it just keeps telling you what movies or what programs or anything. Well, I went through the thing one day, and there's 500,000 different things on there. But I was sitting here one day, and I've been going through it, and they do have Amazon Fire TV. Does have, you can order QVC and HSN through their Fire on the TV.
And it
goes into your Prime. You know, you got to be a Prime member, and they bill you.
Okay, well, thank you, Bill. I'll let you continue. You wanted to talk about shopping as well.
I will. I will talk a little bit about shopping. Come to Florida. There's no one here really to help us out about the stores or anything. So I thought, you know, I've used Instacart in the past and I've used Shipt, and this has been a good experience for me. So I said, how am I going to become a better shopper? Because I like to eat and Jennifer likes her snacks. So we've got to find a way to be able to get this done. So I said to myself, let's start doing some research and getting better at this. So I use my little Braille display, pair it with my phone, my little Braille display Orbit 20 reader, which allows me to navigate quickly around my iPhone. So I use that, and I'm able now to use the Instacart, which they will come within an hour and deliver your groceries. And the store choices are a place called Publix and Costco's and in a place called Aldi's, which is kind of a, I don't know what you call it. What would you call it?
Well, it's a German company, and they sell their off-brand stuff. I mean, so that there's some things are cheaper, some things may be more expensive, but we have a few of them here in this area as well.
And you mentioned Winn-Dixie as well. It's a big chain in the South.
Well, I'm going to talk about that one in a second. So then I thought, well, let me look at Shipt. I've used Shipt at home before, but when I pulled up Shipt, they had Winn-Dixie, which was an addition. They had a store called Lucky's, and they had Target and Costco. And so, but Sam's Club hasn't hit the Instacart down here like it has at home. So, but what I was noticing when I was shopping around, and I was doing pretty good at it. I got the extra stores and everything, but I still said, you know, some of this milk's kind of high. It's $4 and $6 a gallon. So I remembered one time at home, I thought I had read about Walmart groceries, and I'd installed that app on my thing. I thought, well, I don't know that it's going to be available, but it was. And the site was so wonderfully accessible. I could add favorites. I could put things into my cart, take them in, take them out, and keep favorites. And it made it easy to shop. And I could have got same day delivery or next day delivery. And what I noticed was that I could save substantial money. Some of these things were like $2 and $3 over places like Publix and Winn-Dixie, like milk, a couple dollars cheaper a gallon, storage bags and different things that I could get, the Great Value brand or whatever brand that they wanted to use. Now, I'm not saying there's no use for these other things. And Mike, you can correct me on this, to shop at Walmart, it was a $9.95 payment, no matter what you charged or did. The Shipt app and the Instacart app uses, you pay a flat fee per year, $99 per year, to be able to get the unlimited, you know, deliveries wherever you wanted the stores from. But what a difference in the price. If you were shopping for a family or just wanted to shop like you did at Walmart, but the app is extremely easy to use. I suppose you could also use, I know the Shipt app works extremely well on a computer. So if you couldn't use a phone, it works extremely well on a computer. But I've been able to find and get the things I wanted to. And then Jenny's probably going to talk about this in just a moment. She was doing some Christmas shopping yesterday, and she used another website on her PC, which you could also use on your phone, but she used her PC. Jenny, you want to pick up that story?
I was looking for, I have been getting email for they've been sending me ads for the 12 days of Christmas deals. So I went from Costco, and I knew I wouldn't have time because of things that are going on when we get home. I knew I probably wouldn't have time to go out and do all my Christmas shopping and get it done before Christmas. So I went to Costco. And their website is very easy to use on a computer. And I haven't tried it on the phone, but I know you have. And the cool thing about Costco is that it will tell you if the item you want is out of stock, so you don't waste your time ordering it and not getting it. And they make it very easy if you want to ship things to somebody else besides your normal shipping address, and it doesn't change your shipping address like some apps. If you ever send it to somebody else, then it tries to send it to them all the time, but it very definitely gives you the option not to change your default address. And it was just a good shopping experience. And their site is, they don't try to talk you into buying a bunch of other stuff. I mean, if you say you only want one thing, it doesn't doesn't have that thing that says, well, if you bought this, other people bought this and this and this, and then you have to be sure that you don't end up adding that to your list too. I was pretty impressed with it.
So it worked out well for you. So that's Costco. So I've been paying a gentleman money at home to take me shopping every week. That's no more. I don't need to do that anymore. I feel that empowered that I can find the meats, the things that I want to be able to do. That extra $40 a week I was paying, I can use that for something else. I'm not trying to knock somebody out of a job, but I think if we can empower ourselves and be able to do that, and you know, when you get back home, you've got the power of Sam's Club, Costco's, you've got all of your stores that you might want to shop at. And that's kind of a good thing sometimes. And the other trend that I've noticed, and maybe you guys can comment on it, when I started just a few months ago, there was only 3 or 4 stores on a service called DoorDash where you could deliver food. Now they're up to almost 194 different stores. And there's nothing you can't do anymore as far as restaurants, food, and you know, an easy combination. So I've been cooking. We, our grill went out. It never worked right from the start. It had to be refixed by the factory 2 or 3 or 4 times. It just would not cook. It just wouldn't cook. So I listened to DJ Doug, and he had gotten something called the Breville. And it's just a heavy-duty built grill with a device that slides under it that snaps in so you don't get grease all over the place. And the plates are pretty wide, and they're really heavy. And it's just one other accessible way, an easy way to cook. So it's by doing my shopping and stuff, I don't have to eat out every night, and I can eat the things I want to eat. Panel, anybody got any questions or things to say or comment?
Yeah, Bill, I got something. Bill, yeah. In Chicago. Another grill that I just bought, and it's really good, it's a George Foreman grill, and their plates can be taken out and put in the dishwasher.
We've got one of those at home, but we're on our second or third set of plates with those.
The plates do wear out eventually, but I like that one. I bought one that fixes up to 8. It's what they call an 8 grill. You can fix up to, depending on the size, you can put up like to 8 burgers on there at one time.
Yeah.
If you want.
And I know a lot of people put those plates in the dishwasher, and I did too for a while, but I'm beginning to think that you're better off if you wash them by hand, because
I think the soap was hard.
I don't know if dishes click up against it and rub the, and do something to that nonstick surface or what, but it seems like they last longer.
And also, Bill, Jeff said Aldi was off-brand stuff. Aldi does carry off-brand stuff. A lot of the stuff, because it's a German-run store. It's owned by a German. But if you go into Aldi, they have name-brand stuff in there, and sometimes it's cheaper, because I know, like milk, I use Aldi here a lot of times. Here in Chicago, or in this area, I can get milk sometimes for $1.50 a gallon from Aldi. Now, I don't know what it'd be down there, but you might want to check and maybe use Aldi for some of your stuff, because it's all name brand, and their milk is comes from California dairy, so it's the same as everybody else gets their milk.
The only thing about Aldi's bill is that it's the no-frill supermarket, so you have to stuff, and it's
but if they deliver online, you might as well check it out. If they're on the apps or somewhere you can get the stuff delivered, you might as well check it out, because Trader Joe is affiliated with Aldi. They are cousins. The guys that own those, Trader Joe is German too, and Trader Joe and Aldi, the two guys that own those in Germany are cousins.
On those George Foreman plates, we have the ceramic ones, and we've had the same plates for probably 3 or 4 years, and I always put them in the dishwasher. I've never had any trouble with them, but I always use a plastic scrubber thing. You can't use like an SOS pad.
You can't use SOS pads on a ring like that, right?
No, we like the George Foreman, you know, no problem. It's the grease that causes us the problem.
Oh, your tray slips out Monday because it doesn't snap in, right?
Right.
Well, I figured that out. I got one certain spot I put my Foreman grill, and I put a Velcro strip on the pot, you know, the, not right on the counter, but one of those hot things that you can put on your counter to set hot food on. Mm-hmm. I put a little tiny Velcro strip there and put a Velcro strip on the bottom of the grease catcher, and I set that down, then I pulled the grill right up to it, and it never moved. use.
What I did with our George Foreman, got a big long tray that's
just like a serving tray.
Yeah.
Set it on there.
Uh-huh. You set it on there, and I cut the back out of the edge off of the back so that the grill sticks out. You know, from
you know the how back they the stick grill. Out in the back,
right? Right.
And then the tray just fits in front of it, so it can't go anywhere.
And you have the advantage of just being able to take that tray and wash it if you want to.
Well, yeah, that'd be another way, too. You wouldn't spill the grease over, right? Right. Oh, Bill, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Just referring back a little bit, how are you coming out with your friend?
Friend, which
the lady.
Oh, that lady? It's what I thought it would be.
Okay.
We've never heard any more from her.
Okay. I was just curious because I was telling my daughter about it, and she works, you know, social service. She works in foster care. And she said, no, she said, you didn't have the right to come in and do that. She couldn't do that. But maybe she's mad that you got the house and she didn't.
I want to ask you about the Breville so we could get, are the controls in that somewhat accessible? I know that my friend has a Breville convection oven, which is a toaster oven and a convection oven, all that stuff. That's different from the grill.
Well, I think it's got a turn-on switch and then you turn to the temperature you want. That is not marked. You kind of tell by time. But once we get somebody here, we can mark that and do that. So in that sense, I think, you know, it could be, and Doug showed me how to hit the alarm and to set the minutes. But for the most part, since we have Lady A, I just use Lady A as a timer, you know, and that seems to work. In that sense, yes, it does beep when it gets to the, you preheat it and, you know, it just works that way. It works very well. It's probably, you would almost consider like the Foreman grill is like a Volkswagen or a Ford type car, where this is kind of a bigger, heavier type grill, more industrial type, I would think. I don't know. It's more...
The Breville is very high quality. I know they've sold some Brevilles on QVC, but I know they're quite high quality. So I know that people who have them and like them. So that's all I can say about them.
Just all
preference. Well, I do know on a George Foreman, the only indicator on that is a light. But when you do plug it in, you turn the temperature on, if you listen closely, you can hear the light click off. You know, you can hear it go, that little click noise. Well, okay, it's hot. You know.
Too, when it gets to the level on the George Foreman.
The cool thing about this grill is that it's made so if you wanted to, you could open it and cook with it open, because it comes with a griddle plate.
So you could cook.
I mean, they had there was a demo of QVC. The guy was cooking eggs on it and doing all kinds of stuff.
But nowadays, you don't need a kitchen stove.
No. But I do think the purpose of this whole thing this morning is to say you can be away and in a strange environment and overcome the challenges of getting to a store or doing the things that you need to do. Now, they also have delivery services here that you can pick up the phone and call, and they will do it for you. Now, the disadvantage of that is they start out at $30 before you even get started to make a delivery, you know.
Oh, man.
You know, they do that. So, you know, it's out there. It's available. We also have, through these apps, you can get deliveries from drugstores. I don't think you can get prescriptions delivered, not that I'm aware of, but you can get items from the pharmacy.
Let me address that a little bit. Walgreens, I guess they've already launched it now, or will be shortly in your area, that I guess they partner with FedEx, and you can get anything delivered by the next day for $4.99. And they said CVS... Right, CVS already has this. We talked about that last week, that you could buy regular off-the-shelf stuff at CVS, but we didn't know about prescriptions. But apparently they have a delivery service as well, because they're all... Amazon is getting into that space. They bought a company specifically for that purpose. So, you know, the delivery of medicines and prescription items is definitely heating up as well. But we do have to mention, it's going to depend on your market and where you live as to what's available.
You know what the caveat is, though? Oh, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
I can tell you, in Chicago, the downtown Walgreens, if you're in the loop, or even my neighborhood, if you already have got a prescription on order and it's got to be a refill, you can call it in and they'll deliver it to you. In fact, downtown, they deliver the office people free. They got guys just run around and do that free. Out here, if I wanted to deliver it from my Walgreens, which is about 8 blocks down, which I usually get up, but they will deliver it for $2. But you have to have a prescription already on file. They won't take a new prescription in until you fill it. You got to, you know, get the.
Yeah, well, that's understandable, Bill. You know, right. the caveat here, Mike, and I think we're both all, Mike, Bill, myself, and we all, is that we're, everyone said, oh, the supermarket delivery thing, the grocery delivery thing would never work, because for a long time, people were really upset about the fact that you get your groceries delivered, but are they checking the produce to make sure it's fresh? Are they checking the meats to make sure it's fresh? Are they checking the dates on the milk and the eggs and all the other stuff to make sure it's fresh? And they are. And people, the millennials, are more and more saying, we have other things to do than to sit there, walk through the lines of a supermarket. And it is becoming more and more popular. But along with that popularity, at least for us as blind people, comes the fact that the technology is becoming more and more complex at times. And so we as blind people have to, unfortunately, or maybe I should say fortunately, try to keep ahead of the curve to try to make sure we can be able to access the technology. And I think that's the big thing that's going to separate blind people, is if they're not into the technology, they are going to be left behind. And that is unfortunately a problem that all of us have faced.
Yeah, people that don't have an iPhone or some technology, they're going to be, I know, Jennifer, I don't want to cut you off. I want to mention this before it slips out of my mind, but also something we want to talk about are the potential for mistakes. And that is a real world. Bill said Walmart delivery, they missed an item. And I heard a story, a podcast where someone said they, instead of milk, they actually received Clorox. Yeah, that's something we have to be mindful of, too, in checking our orders. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Of course, you know, it all depends on how good your shopper is, too, because I know Bill ordered, he wanted strawberries in his order, and the lady sent him a message and said, these strawberries don't look very good. Do you still want them anyway? And she, you know, I mean, she was a good shopper, and it depends on how honest your shopper is and how much they care, or if they're just going to give you what you ordered regardless.
Yeah, but talking about the milk and the Clorox, you know, If you buy bleach bottles, sometimes those bottles look like milk bottles, because I mean, if I buy a gallon of milk and you buy a bleach bottle, I haven't seen the large, but there are times when the bottles feel similar, because I buy my milk in plastic rather than those you know, old fashioned containers. So you could be making a mistake if you're not careful. You wouldn't know. I have a thing of eggnog in my refrigerator. It's made by Hood, but if I didn't know it was eggnog, I would have thought it was just a quart of milk. So you do have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of technology, I went to get my hearing aid fixed last Friday. I never been to this place, but I looked it up and they said, you know, they could fix my hearing aid. So I got there and da 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 da. And he says, oh, you got the wrong hearing aid and whatever, want to sell you another one. But that's a different issue. But I got ready to leave. I used Lyft to get there. I got ready to leave and my phone wouldn't work. My service provider Sprint just would not work. And so I finally, some lady came along, I got outside and finally, I think I switched over to Uber and got a ride. I don't know, they were able to get the signal. But what do you do in a case like that when you're out and you're not getting the best signal? Do you immediately go take your phone and find another carrier? What do you do, Mike?
Well, I think if you travel a lot, you really have to give priority to either AT&T or Verizon. I mean, especially if you're more rural, you know, T-Mobile and Sprint are going to have more holes in their service. That's just the way it is. But sometimes just, you know, of course, being in radio, you know, if you ever played with radio, sometimes just moving a foot or two or something can make the difference. Getting out of a building that might have a lot of electronic equipment that could interfere with a phone signal. I had that once where I couldn't make a call in Walmart. It was the day after
used Wi-Fi calling for situations like that in a hotel, and it works wonderful.
I had a problem with Uber because I was getting a haircut last week and I didn't want to, and I knew I had missed one of the buses and I didn't want to wait another hour to get home. But in the county office building in Albany, there's very poor service. Yes, I can make phone calls on the regular cell network, but it's not LTE, and Uber likes to know where you are based on when you use it. And if it can't find you, it won't work properly. So I actually had to walk outside the building to get my phone to work. It would not work in the county office building in Albany because of the building itself and the way it's constructed. But cell service is very difficult in that particular building. Once I got outside the building, I was able to use Uber and successfully get home.
Don't they have a thing now, though, where if you know how long it's going to take you, that you can pre-schedule your trip back?
Yes, both Uber and Lyft do have that. But if you're late getting to the cab, or if you miss the cab, you still may have to pay for that ride or pay for the, you know, for that whole service. So you got to be careful with that stuff, Jennifer. But yes, you can schedule the ride in advance.
So I didn't know what to do, and it was a struggle. to finally switch over to get it to work?
I think if I was in an office building, I would go back in and ask them to call me a cab.
I don't know.
Because there should be a receptionist or somebody in the lobby of those, especially a medical building.
Well, this was a county office building. This was not a medical building. And I knew I was able to get Uber once I got outside the building. And that wasn't really a problem. So,
but no one got it on Monday. The actual Uber service went down. I don't know for how long, but so you couldn't, no matter what kind of signal you had, the actual technology was not working. So drivers.
I heard about that, Mike.
Yeah, it did go down. It did go down. I heard it.
Uber or Lyft on the telephone. Does anybody know that?
Say it again, Bill.
Can you call Uber or Lyft on the telephone?
No, they're not gated that way.
Uber is pretty much impossible. Lyft, I mean, I don't know that you could schedule rides, but you can't get a hold of people for questions and stuff. Uber is almost impossible. Someone told me the only way you may even hear from someone is to give a driver a 1-star rating because they want to investigate and find out if that's someone they need to get off the road. But even I don't say
there's an emergency part of Uber. If you left something in your cab, in the cab, you can get a hold of someone who can get back to the driver to get your stuff back. But that's also iffy too, Mike.
So those are just technology things that we've been observing to do that, to, you know, things in challenges that we've come up with in the last week. And that just happens to be, you know, a few things. And there's a lot of good things that have come out of this. So how I'll handle this Friday when I go back to get my hearing aid.
yeah, but it might be time to switch providers there. And I was going to mention, I've heard this from a few different folks that if you just don't have insurance or just want a selection of different hearing devices that for price and for assistance, that actually one of the best places to go, believe it or not, is Costco. So I wanted to share that.
What were you saying, Mike, about the price?
I was just saying that they say their prices are very competitive, and for people who don't have insurance are saying one of the number one places to go to shop for hearing aids is Costco.
I've heard that also. I've seen that hearing aid center there, and this Costco is here in Naples, is one of the top 10 Costcos in the country. But, you know, that might be a possibility because the guy told me, well, we want to sell you another hearing aid because this is not the right kind for you. Well, I just got this one paid off, you know, and if they wouldn't offer me a trade-in or make it worth my while, I mean, I've not been using a hearing aid for 2 weeks and getting by. I'm not too inclined to want to buy another one.
Well, and that's tough because you don't know, right, was the first company incompetent or is the second one just saying that to sell you a product? And in working in the Better Business Bureau, I saw that a lot. So it's hard to say, you can certainly tell by the devices if one's performing better and doing what you need. But of course, it takes a little time. So you want to have some kind of ability to bring it back in so many days if it's not working for your needs.
I believe we have a hand raised from either Joe or Ellen.
This is Joe. Actually, Google grandparents, you can call them anywhere, anytime. I have done that. And most of the time, they use Lyft. But one time I did Google grandparents to go to emergency room at the hospital. And surprising, it was Uber and not Lyft.
Yeah, that is an option, Go-Go grandparents, if you just cannot use a smartphone. Now, I don't think, even though that's out there, Joe, I don't think that will help you with shopping. I think it will help you with at least getting transportation. Now, I know Uber is ingrained with some doctor's offices, and so they're able to get their patients home. So, but that Go-Go grandparents, we've talked about them before. That works. I don't know anybody that's tried Go-Go grandparents, but
I haven't. I've never had to, but
did it work for you, Joe? You pay
a little extra for that, too.
Did it work for you, Joe?
Hold on a second. Let me unmute him. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, it has. It has worked for me greatly. Oh, yes, it has. Even though it's actually worth a little extra to pay for, because, oh, man, it is great. It's worked out 100%. And I know, of course, you can't go shopping that way. that's another area all in itself, but I raise my hand 100% for Google grandparents. I just, and some things I like to do the old-fashioned way. You can, I actually prefer to press 6 to actually talk to somebody live waiting, rather than the automated service. So it's actually great. We have some choices, and then I sent you an email, Bill, on another subject I'd like to talk about sometime. So But anyway, that's your thing. Thank you for letting me have my 2 cents.
Yeah, so the question is, as we go forward, and this is automated, are there going to be less options for telephone support? Or, well, as Bill said, they come at a fee where you're going to spend $30 before someone even think about going out and buying something for you. It could go both ways.
Well, talk about telephone support. Try getting telephone support from your cable company, or try getting telephone support from other companies that you got to go through 50 million menus, and you may not even get an operator. You may not even get a person. So
there was a very interesting article on NBC that showed how companies do this intentionally to get rid. They really want to get rid of phone support.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go to websites now, and it's hard to find a phone number if you just want to call somebody and talk to them. They really bury it.
Well, it's like AT&T the same way. You got to punch about 15 different buttons to get to even a live person.
Yeah, there's a website called gethuman.com that goes and shows you what to press on your phone to actually get through their tree to speak with a person.
And I don't know about you guys, but I find it a little more of a challenge unless I'm using my Braille display on the cell phone when I've got to punch a series of numbers. It's just me. I think I just got to get better at that. Does anybody else have that challenge?
Oh, you mean like punching in a code on your
cell
phone?
It's a challenge, but I found out if you're using some kind of Bluetooth thing, you can at least hear voiceover well enough. If the recordings don't keep talking at the same time, that you can hit the button.
Yeah. Mike, does that pose a challenge?
it seems like certain iOS versions it does, right? Where it's a little sluggish for some reason, and then you got to hold the phone away from your ear, so you've got it on speakerphone. Occasionally, it's not too much of a problem yet, but it makes me notice it as I get older. My hand is getting a little shakier than it used to be, so I can see why some folks maybe can't use an iPhone, but it scares me because there's going to come a time when I just don't know how many are going to survive without having access to that technology.
Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Go ahead, sir.
Or anybody. I've got an iPhone. Of course, I have no problem using it, but see, your hand's a little shaky. Have you ever... I know a friend of mine, she went to school with us. She has a plastic overlay that sticks on her phone that she got from, I think, the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind. And what it is, it's got dot on there for the numbers. And, the 12 dots on your phone. It's got 12 dots. And then there's a dot, some other dot that goes to disconnect your call. And another to answer it. But the problem is, once you stick it on, it's on there. You can peel it off. But she likes it because it does, and it doesn't affect her using her cell phone or iPhone for other stuff. It just makes it easier when she wants to dial a number.
I think that would throw me if I was trying to type something with letters using the regular keypad for letters and numbers where the 0 through 9 go across the screen.
Well, there's another one you can buy that I don't know how much you can peel it off and put it back on, but it's another one you can buy if you want to do nothing but text messages and email stuff.
Yeah,
it has the keyboard on this overlay thing you put on it, and it matches the keyboard.
Right. Some folks like those, and like atguys.com. There's folks that sell those. So that is an option for some.
Yeah. Yes, B-Dots. I like to dictate my text messages using Apple's dictation part. Sometimes it's not always accurate, but a lot of times it is. But you got to be careful when you do that.
Yeah, I know that because I sent my daughter one, and it said I hung myself. I don't know what I sent now, but she said she got the message and said something. She knew what it consisted of, but then at the end it says, I hung myself. Oh, can I ask you a question, Bill? On your hearing aid, I had a call come in. I had to disconnect because today's my birthday and everybody's calling me.
Happy birthday.
All right, well, I turned a ripe old age of 79 today. But anyways,
happy birthday.
Right, thanks, everybody. Have you heard of the hearing aid? There's one that advertised here in Chicago. Used to be a former news guy on our thing here. Have you heard of the new hearing aid they got now that you can't even see it? You don't have to take it out. You can wear it in the pool. You can wear it anywhere. And somehow it charges in your ears. But the ironic part of it is, and he demonstrated, it will translate 7 different languages.
Well,
I don't know what the price is, but I mean, when you talk about hearing aids, I thought of that one. I said, and I saw him demonstrate it once, and if someone speaks Spanish, it'll translate to English. They speak German, it'll translate to English in your ear.
I have for some time thought that hearing aids are way overpriced. I kind of believe that, and I think people get taken in on some of those. I don't know, though. I mean, why am I buying one a couple years ago and they're telling me, oh, that's the wrong kind. You don't need that type. You need...
Well, you want to make a sale.
Right.
Right. It depends. Does it work for you? Because
yeah.
You were saying that he was saying, well, you don't need one that interfaces with your phone, but maybe you want that capability. So...
Well, I think part of what he was trying to say is they sold him a pretty powerful hearing aid because they didn't explain very well what the amount of his hearing loss actually was. And this guy gave him a better idea of how much he'd actually lost. They were pretty vague when we went before. And she sold him a top-of-the-line hearing aid.
So this all came down to this, and this is the whole point of this, is that they want to switch me to... And he said that all hearing aids are going to be this way pretty soon. A hearing aid with rechargeable batteries instead of batteries that you know, you have to take in and out. And because we shall see what shall happen. I will go back again this Friday and make another plan to try to get back home to see what I see. We're about running out of time this hour. Anybody want to sum up with anything we've talked about? Shopping and hearing aids and appliances and a little bit of everything.
I think the big caveat here is if you're going to use the technology, it's you're going to have to learn how to use it. That's the biggest thing we talk about here. I mean, that Amazon approach to shopping, I think, is going to be the wave of the future, especially supermarkets and places that want to save money on hiring personnel to do registers, stuff like that.
Yeah, that concerns me because right now it's easy to use because they have a lot of staff there because everyone has to be schooled or educated on how to use it initially. But once they get past that hurdle, you know, whether it be as many people around to assist them. You mentioned the person in Chicago and she got an employee that actually walked through the store and went with her, but I don't know how long that'll last.
Well, they're always going to need staff to stock those shelves, Mike, but they don't necessarily have to have a whole bunch of people. They can have one or two people doing that periodically throughout the day, right? So, you know, it will be a definite challenge. That's all I'm going to say, guys.
All I'm going to say to kind of wrap this up is that to be a blind person in 2018, how much better we off are now than we would have been even 10 years ago or 25, 30 years ago when this shopping wouldn't have been a possibility or some of these appliances or some of the things. And someone said, well, maybe it's better back then. Maybe it was. But as far as being independent and being able to do some things for yourself, it is much, much, much better, I think.
I agree with you on that.
I'm not talking about morality. I'm not talking about other things. I'm just talking about being better as far as able to do things for yourself when you're in a strange area.
Even stuff in your own house, like now you're with, I can't think of his name, but now the thing, Ira. You got Ira, you got DNA. You got Explorer, you got all kinds of stuff now that back years ago, if you were blind, you had to find somebody to read your mail, or you had to just wait till somebody did come by, or if you got lost, well, you were just out there until somebody come along and you said, well, where am I, and or how do I get there? Well, they may tell you the wrong way, too.
Yeah, but it's a double-edged sword, Bill. It is better for us in some respects, but it is worse right. for us in other respects is if technology doesn't work for us. So that's the only thing
I'm... Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Well, it's just like, I know, if you go into some of these restaurants where they got these kiosks, well, a lot of them don't even talk to you, so how are you going to order your food, you know, and things like that, you know, if you go into, like, McDonald's or any place like that where they got the kiosks, you know.
And it creates a larger divide between the people that can afford to have technology and the people that, for whatever reason, don't think they can or don't want to.
Well, that's true, too.
But that's going to be the case no matter what, though. That's unfortunate. It is unfortunate. All right, I think it's time for Dave's Demo.
Right. It is time to segue into Dave's Demo and say you're listening to the Worldwide Legend from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Naples, Florida, and wherever throughout this great big universe. But here we are. I'm really looking forward to this segment. I'm going to say in advance, though, that they did a little preview with me on Friday night to make sure that I was up to snuff on putting on my own sensor. And he was able to talk somebody who's not so technically smart when it comes to doing things with my hand. He was able, Chris and Dave were able to talk me off the cliff, make me independent, and now I don't have to ask anybody to do this. And for that, with friends like that, I am so, so grateful. I'm so proud of them for what they were able to do for me that it means the world, and I can't express it in words. But I'm going to arrow down here. Do you guys want to say anything before we start this demo? And this will be available as a podcast, so you can go to the website and get it. Anybody want to say anything?
Well, what we decided to do, because there was a little bit of, well, there was some confusion out there.
A lot of confusion out there.
Yeah. Because there's different ways people explain the back side of your arm, the front side of your arm.
We got different answers even from the Libra people as far as different explanations.
So what we decided that we were going to do, this was to place the sensor on your arm. And not only just that, but how to take the sensor out of the box and put it all together and install the sensor on your arm. So we did attempted to do a demo on this.
This is something we actually used Ira for too. We called them and had them look at the website and had them look at the picture of somebody applying the sensor, and they could see on their arm the area. And so then we were able to hold the phone and look at Dave's arm, and they were able to tell us exactly where on Dave's arm the sensor was, what would be if it, you know, from the picture.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing how that worked. And then we just sat down and figured out how to explain it. So we attempted to do that, and we hope we did a good job.
Well, all I'm going to say is it's very much picked up where I left off. And so we'll just sit here and listen to this demo and sit back and listen, because I think you'll find it helpful. If anybody that this affects or is going to be using this, here we go. And we will be talking about some recipes and cooking tips after this.
Hello. Well, today we have talked in the past about the Libra Freestyle meter and the app, but we haven't talked about how to apply the sensor to the arm. So I am going to attempt to describe how to apply the sensor. The thing that I'm going to do, I take the sensor out of the box, and it comes in two pieces to start with. And you have one piece that is your applicator. It has on what it's about that's about 2 inches around, and there's a it looks like sort of like a cup on the bottom of it and a skinny piece up the top,
and in the middle
there's a rim in the middle.
Rim, yeah, that's a good description.
Okay, now the first thing that I want to do is explain how to find where to put the sensor on your arm. And one of the things that I sort of figured out that seems to work pretty well, I'm going to use my left arm, and I'm going to come up. Just I'm going to lay my hand flat on the table, so I have it laying flat on the table. And if I take my right hand and come up and put it on the top of my arm.
His arm is bent just a little bit. It's elbow.
It's bent just a little bit. I didn't have my arm straight. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my hand, the palm of my hand, and move it up past the elbow going towards my shoulder.
So I'm going to shirt sleeve up if you have a long sleeve shirt.
I have a long sleeve shirt on, so I had to pull my shirt sleeve up. Now, if I put the palm of my hand on my arm, on top of my arm, and let my fingers come down so that my right little finger on my right hand is just touching the upside or the side of the elbow bone, but my fingers are on the side that goes up towards my shoulder. So it's going to be at the edge of that elbow. And I'm just going to let my fingers sort of hang down until my little finger is just touching that elbow. Then I'm going to take the next two three fingers and just lay them down.
On your upper arm.
Towards my upper arm, towards my shoulder. So now what I have is the distance, is that I've got four fingers, gives me the distance of where I want to put this sensor. And you will, if you do, as I just said, when your fingers are, when the little finger is touching the elbow bone, and you come up past the fourth finger,
your index,
just sort of let your fingers hang down, and you feel your palm of your hand is going to feel sort of a bone in your arm, but your fingers are going to come down to a pretty much a soft spot in your arm, and where the fourth finger is where I would put the sensor.
If you are at all unsure and this is your first sensor, I would recommend that you arrange before you start to get some personal, I'm in your office, kind of help with your pharmacist, from your pharmacist or your nurse practitioner or somebody like that.
Or the doctor.
Or the doctor. You can take your paper in. There's pictures of where to place the sensor. And you have a fairly decent area. You can be off some and it'll still work. But if you're unsure and you know that you're unsure, then I would arrange to get a little bit of help from a medical person.
Now, when you take your sensor out of the box, there's also a alcohol swab in there, and you want to peel the paper off of that. And then you're going to do, as I said before, find the place that you're going to put it on your arm, and by putting your hand over the top of your arm and letting your fingers hang down to the little finger touches the elbow. And if you come up four fingers, in other words, the little finger and three more, and let them hang down over till you'll feel the bone in the palm of your hand. The fingers are going to come down past that. What some people call that the backside of the arm. Some people call it the, I don't know, but it's rather confusing. But anyway,
if you think of your arm as having four sides, an inside, an outside, a front, and a back.
So anyway, they're calling it the backside of the arm. So anyway, when my fingers are hanging down, they're coming down around the arm to the soft spot in my arm. So I'm touching the elbow with my little finger, and I'm adding the other three fingers to it, keeping my hand on the top of the arm. And I'm going to take the alcohol swab and just wipe the arm right there, where, because I know that's where I want to put my sensor. Then that gives that a chance to dry while I attempt to describe how to set this thing up. Now, the first piece that I took out of the box, like I said, it kind of looks like a cup at the bottom. It's wide at the bottom with the little rim that goes around in the middle, and it's skinny up the top. That's called the applicator.
The sensor
applicator. The sensor applicator. And I have the hiccups. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take out the second piece out of the box, and it does look like a cup, and
pudding cup, or
like a pudding cup sort of, and on the top of the cup there is some foil across the top, and it's rounded at the top. It's like a rim at the top of this cup,
just like a pudding cup, only this rim has a little bit of a point on it, not right. Really a sharp point, but a blunted point.
So if you take your fingers around the top of it, you'll see how the cup is, this rim is round, but it has a point on one side, and at the very top you will feel a piece of foil, and there's a little tab. You take a hold of that and you pull that foil off,
and don't touch in the cup.
Yeah, don't put your hands inside the cup. Okay.
I know it's tempting, but
yeah. And I'm disposing of those pieces of the foil. But now, what I have to do is I have to take the first piece that I said was skinny at the bottom and...
You said skinny at the top.
Skinny at the top and wider at the bottom below the rim. It's wider at the bottom. That bottom piece is actually a cap. So if I take my left hand and hold on to the skinny part and my right hand on to the top, and I screw that cap off and get rid of it, dispose of it. They're not going to use that cap again. Now, what I do is I have the pudding cup that I took the foil off of. And if I look at this cup...
Just around the top edge.
Just around it's the piece that, the first piece, the applicator that I was talking about. You take this... you take this skinny part of this
the applicator,
and on the skinny part, if you go around the skinny part, there's a line
under the rim.
It's underneath the rim that goes down towards the bottom of the cap.
It's a vertical line.
And so what you're going to do, the line on this applicator, that's the one with the skinny part, lines up with this cup, the other piece that we were talking about that we took the foil off of.
That's the pack. That's the sensor pack.
Right.
That we took the foil off of.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn it so that the skinny part is facing up, and I've got the pudding cup type thing sitting on the table, and I have the line on the applicator, that's the piece with the skinny part on the top, and I'm going to keep that skinny part at the top. I'm going to bring it down to the pudding cup, and I'm going to line that, the line on the applicator with that, where the on the rim of the cup has a point on it, and I'm going to line those two together, and when I set this down in there, then it just sort of it can only go in one way. So when those two are lined together, so if you feel the line on the applicator and you feel the point on the top of this cup, your applicator will set right down in there.
It's like it falls into a little slot.
So now that I have...
you shouldn't be able to turn it.
No, it won't turn. So you don't press on it just yet. Because you want to make sure that you have that dropped in there, which I do. And then... with the cup on the table, find the top of this applicator, the skinny part, and you press down on it.
You're going to hear a click.
And you hear a click. Okay. Now, you take a hold of the cup and pull the applicator away from it.
Pull it straight away.
Pull it straight away. So now you have that pudding cup that you're not going to use anymore. Then you're going to find the spot on your arm with the putting your fingers, little finger against the elbow, the hand wrapping around the arm, leg hanging down, and use the four fingers. Then you're going to take this applicator in your hand
with the skinny side away from your arm.
With the skinny side away from your arm, because it's wider, at the bottom of this applicator. So I'm going to put this where I want it to go. I'm going to press it against my arm. I'm going to keep it firm. And then I'm going to push the top of the applicator
into your arm.
Into the arm. Then I'm going to gradually pull the applicator. I'm going to sort of work that around a little bit.
Just kind of gently pull it away.
Pull it away. and that left a sensor on my arm.
That sensor is probably about the size of a penny, maybe, or nickel.
Oh, it's probably more, a little bit bigger than a quarter.
You think?
Yeah, I would say it's about like that. Now, that put the sensor on my arm, so now all I'm going to do is just take my fingers on this sensor and just sort of press on it to make sure that there's adhesive in there, and you want to make sure that that takes a hold of your arm.
Press it all the way around.
And just sort of, you know, press it all the way around to make sure that it's good and tight. Okay.
And he was right. It is a little bigger than a quarter.
Right. I knew I was. I can usually judge something close like that.
I usually can too, but you've seen it a lot more than I have.
Yeah. So now that we have the sensor on the arm, what I'm going to do is come over because we've already talked about, Bill has talked about it, and Randy and Bill and the other guy is was on there. I can't remember his name. Anyway, have talked about how the unit works. Now what I have to do is I've got to open the Libra app on my iPhone. Open Libra.
Libra link. Slider menu icon. Possible tags. I'm in here. Possible tag. Scan new sensor. Scan new sensor. Button.
Okay, I have to
double tap there.
Double tap on scan the new sensor.
Alert. Ready to scan. Libra link. Slider menu icon. Button.
So when I told it to scan the sensor, it says on the iPhone, it says
scan sensor button,
which that's been
sensor can be used in 60 minutes.
Sensor can be used in 60 minutes. So now that we have it installed, we will just pause the machine, and when it gets close, we will come back and finish.
Maybe I can give them the phone number.
Okay.
And I'll give them the phone number again when it's over. This is, you can go to the website at Freestyle, which is one word, FreeStyleLibre.com. So FreestyleLibre.com. That's the website. And the phone number is 855-632-8658. That's 855-632-8658. And I'll give that one more time when we're done. I'm not going to give you any information about the prices because everybody's insurance is different. These are
sensor can be used in 58 minutes.
These are the 14-day sensors as opposed to the 10-day ones. And if you buy them without insurance, you can expect to pay approximately $55 a sensor, depending on where you get them from, $55 to $65. So you have to shop around if you aren't going to use insurance to pay for them. Most the insurances we have checked out, now I know Bill has a different insurance. Bill's got really good insurance as a retired federal employee. A lot of insurances will not pay unless you are using insulin or are on what they call pump therapy. I mean, you have to have a prescription to get it, but they won't pay for it unless you're one of those two things. Now, you can buy them outright if you want to, and that's what
can be used in 57 minutes.
That's what we're doing.
So I have left the app open so that I can hear that it's timing down. I can close the app if I want to, but I think I'll just leave it open. It's not going to hurt the phone for an hour. I've got a good charge on my iPhone. And after 60 minutes, I will be able to take my glucose, which is where we had Bill and Randy had left off with their last interview that they did. And this is just pretty much
just so easy.
The technical way to set up the sensor. So before I pause the machine, I will just sort of go through once again what I did. I took the two pieces out of the box. I had the applicator, which that's the one.
Sensor can be used in 56 minutes.
All right.
I want to touch someplace else on the phone.
So I have the applicator. That's the one with the skinny piece on the top, skinny round piece on the top with the little line on the side of it. And then the rim and then a cup type thing on the bottom. So you flip that thing upside down and you hold the skinny part in your left hand or right hand if you're right, if you're either left or right. So in my case, I hold the skinny part of the applicator in my left hand, and on the right hand, I have that cup type thing, and I screw that off and get rid of it because that's the cap. Then you take, this is after you put the alcohol on your arm to,
sensor can be used in 55.
That just make sure it's a safety thing so you don't cause an infection or something. You always want to clean the site really well. Okay, so anyway, then you take the other piece that you took out of the box that has the foil on it. You peel that foil off.
And you don't want to touch inside that rim of that pack because that's where the little needle is.
Right. So anyway, after you pull the foil off of that the sensor pack, then you're gonna take your applicator and you're gonna flip it so that the skinny part is facing up and the wider part is facing down. And the line on the skinny part of the sensor of the applicator lines up with that rim where that rim goes around the other piece.
It has the
point on along the side of it. You line those two up so that the applicator drops down into that that cup, whatever you want to call it. So, and then once you do that, you press down on the skinny part of that of the applicator until you hear the click, like we did earlier. And once you hear the click, you pull that away, pull the applicator away from that cup and dispose of that cup. And you just have the applicator in your hand. Then you take the applicator and you go over to the arm and you do the deal with the fingers. And you put the wide end of the sensor, the round end of the sensor, not the skinny part. You're going to put that against your arm, and then you make sure you're firm, that you're on the site that you put the alcohol on, and then you put it on there. You sort of push, not real hard, but firm enough that you can tell that it's straight. And once you do that, you press on the applicator until it clicks, and you may or may not feel the little pinch.
The needle is so
fine that you don't really even feel it hardly at all. I didn't feel it when I did that. So anyway, that's how that works. And I'll return as soon as this thing is close to being ready. And it will be, app on my iPhone will let me know when the sensor is ready for use.
So now we're just waiting for the countdown. It should be about a minute, getting close to a minute. And I can tell you that some of the places that carry these sensors are Walmart, Rite Aid, think CVS. They often...
Sensor can be used in 1 minute.
Often these places have to order them for you, but once you get a prescription, they will order them. Our Walmart didn't have any available at all, but they said they could order them once they got the prescription, and they did. And if you want a mail order, the Libra place has a list of places that carry them. Places like Advanced Diabetes Supply and just some places like that. But anyway, you can talk to them about that because that may change from time to time. And And we're just going to wait now, and it should go off in just a minute that the sensor is ready to use. So we'll just hold tight.
Now I'll just hurry up and wait and hope everything works like it's supposed to, which I'm sure it will. But I could be wrong.
We hope not.
Sensor ends in 14 days.
Okay. The tone and sensor ends in 14 days.
Sensor ends in 14 days.
That means it's ready to scan.
So I'm going to lay my recorder down here and see what I don't want to know.
He's eating a couple of fruitcake cookies with candy fruit in them.
Scan sensor button. Scan sensor.
Tap scan sensor.
Alert. Ready to scan. Liver link. Back arrow.
Okay, now I got my scan.
138.
It's not too bad. The sensor is working. What happened to me there when I first hit the scan, I had the app open when it said it was ready. So what I did was I closed the app, took it out of the app switcher, and I went back in and everything was okay. I think I must have froze it or something.
In the Christmas tree. We'll check that damage out in a minute.
The cat was knocking things out of the Christmas tree. Not a good thing. So anyway, we know what that is, and I can
message.
Close my
one notification. See.
And I can lock it. And
then I can give him the information.
I will have Chris give you the information one more time about the Libra product.
Okay, this is the Freestyle Libra. And it is, the website is FreeStyleLibre.com. FreeStyleLibre.com. The phone number is 855-632-8658. That's 855-632-8658.
As you can hear, the unit is working. My sensor is working. So obviously it's on the arm correctly. And I didn't ramble about it too much. I just like to be sure that everyone understands exactly what I did that works for me. And, you know, other people may have different methods of doing it, but this is what I found, the best way I found for me to install the sensor and have it work correctly. Anyway, that's all the time I have for this demo. If you have any questions, you can email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any comments or questions during this broadcast, you may call 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Press pound when you're asked for the meeting ID. Don't press pound yet. When you're asked for the user ID, press 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. Then press pound. When you're asked for the user ID, just press pound again and you will be in the Zoom room.
All right. Everyone have a great week and stay tuned next week for another exciting demo.
Of course, right as we go off the air here, some lawnmower goes by doing some work outside.
It's called Murphy's Law, Bill. Don't worry about it.
It's called a great demo there of something that you guys talked me off the ledge on to be able to do. So we know it's doable. If a klutz like me can do it, anybody can do it.
Dave, you always have to wait for 60 minutes every time you put a new sensor on after 14 days?
That's right. Yeah, because the sensor, as they call it, has to warm up.
Well, but it beats, you used to, on the 10-day ones, you had to wait 12 hours. So they are improving. That.
Now, I'm curious, will that expire at exactly 14 days from the hour and minute?
Tell you, like mine, I got a reminder first, and it said, will expire in like 3 minutes.
So, well, let me tell you, the old one, on the old 10-day one, when I was just using the, you know, the meter there just to scan it with the iPhone. I would get these reminder things and I would have to learn to tap on my meter to get those notices to go away. And they would start 3 days before and they would really mess me up. I didn't know about that. And then the last day they would, the messages would come up there every hour. It was all kinds of problems. So this is so much simpler that, oh my.
But I like the
idea. You guys did a really good job. It sometimes it takes another blind person to explain something to a blind person so you know how to do something.
Yes, it does.
I mean, sighted people, no offense, they try and they can tell you, but they don't always tell you the things that somebody who's not looking at it can tell you.
Yeah, it's amazing how the unit works, because I'll tell you what, from using a regular meter, when using the Prodigy or something like that, my fingers were getting to the point where they, you know, especially reading Braille, you know, they were getting tough. And it was.
We have a caller, it looks like, Jeff. You want to?
I believe it might be Shirley, I think. I'm not sure. It's a 407 area code.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is.
Oh, it is. It is. And how are you?
Go ahead, Shirley.
Hey, unfortunately, I missed most of this demo. You guys have been putting these on the website, correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
And when are they, about how long after what I need to look for it, and what do I look for once I go to Legend Oldies or whatever, because I haven't tried to find any of these yet.
It takes a few minutes to post, so it sometimes takes about an hour before it shows up, but it's right on the front page at legendoldies.com. You just scroll down and it shows the most recent podcast and it'll say the Coffee Club. You know, for whatever day.
Okay, but it should be on there sometime today, probably.
Oh, it should be on there by noon Eastern, yeah, at the latest.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And didn't one of you guys say at one point there was also a phone number that you could call to listen to this or not, the podcast?
Well, that's live. That's not, you can't listen to things on demand. We don't have technology to do that.
That's fine. No, but I thought somebody else, that one room or
conversation station.
Yeah, you can call the conversation station. I don't know. And if Scott's here, he can text me, let me know what's going on here. But I know when you go to the conversation station, there's a prompt that says 4 for podcasts, and I just don't know the number for the Coffee Club podcast, but I know Scott.
Yeah, and I don't know the number for their whole thing, so maybe I can get that from one of you later or something. But
isn't it 4 and then 2 and then the number, and it gives you a menu of the podcast?
Yeah, 4, 2, and there's a number for that podcast, and it's, I'll give you the phone number. It's 712-432-6499, and when it gives you a bunch of options, it will, one of the options is hit 4 for the podcast. As I said, I don't have the actual number.
I
know the one for All Things Radio, but I don't know the one for the Coffee Club.
Okay.
And we'll see.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Our number that you call in to listen to the Legend on changed.
Yeah, we need to get that updated on the website. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw an email about that last week that you put out, I think, Tim.
Yeah. 641-793-1730. 641-793-1730.
And by chance, Tim, if anyone calls the old number, will it refer to that new number?
It does, and it also calls you back.
Oh, I don't want that.
Telling you the new number, which is kind of weird.
I'm not sure I like that, but that's beside the point.
But it does work, and you know, you can listen on the conversation station. They have it there 24/7.
And we'll see if we get permission from Dave to maybe, you know, after the podcast is out for a few days, isolate that file and have it separate on the website so people can find that easily, because I think that's going to be of interest to thousands. I think Chris
he didn't tell you he's going to charge for his services, Mike. Mm-hmm. Kidding.
No, Jeff, you're the only one that charges for the services.
I didn't charge you for the narrator tour, for helping out with the narrator, Shirley. I didn't charge you for that.
That's true.
And hopefully it's working for you if you've gotten it yet. So.
Well, I haven't, which is another interesting story. They had told me that I could get it last week. I was supposed to call on the 4th, and I called on the 4th, and then they told me, well, they had reversed the date for here and for Tampa, so it was going to be on the 11th, which was yesterday. So I called yesterday, and yesterday they still couldn't sign me up for it, and they have no idea why, because they said they had been told the day before that it was supposed to be released yesterday, but they couldn't do it. So nobody has any idea what's going on now.
It's bureaucracy at its best.
Of course.
And we'll say happy Hanukkah to you, Shirley. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You too, even though we're done with it. I was going to call you and wish you one, so thank you so much. Anyway, well, I appreciate the information and all the hard work you guys do. You do a great job with the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris, I made a promise to someone by the name of Jacqueline A. Miller, who was asking questions about eggs and how to separate the yolks, or I think that's what she wanted to do, the yolk and the white. So you told me you would help her out with that a little bit.
Well, they make egg separators. I would recommend a plastic one because sometimes those metal ones get bent and they can snag your egg yolk and cause it to break. But if you're going to use an egg separator, I would recommend a plastic one. Now, what I do is a little unconventional, and some people may not like this, but I crack the egg into a little custard cup, and I ease my three fingers, my index, middle, and ring finger, under the yolk. You can feel it. It stands up a little. You have to be very gentle. I slide my three fingers under the egg yolk, lift it up, separate my fingers just, not even an eighth of an inch. And I take my other hand and I go underneath the hand with the yolk in it and start to brush all that white away. And actually, that is almost foolproof, but you have to be really gentle.
Can you buy these where can you buy
You can buy them at grocery stores, Walmart. You can buy them anywhere. I just haven't. I used to have one, and it had a really long handle, and that didn't work well because it tended to want to make the egg separator fall off the bowl. The other thing you have to do is find a bowl that it'll kind of fit on without falling in, they're available everywhere.
So why would you use an egg separator?
Well, to separate the white from the yellow. Okay. Well, some recipes require all for yellow.
Made so that the white will go through and it'll trap the yolk.
If you're making something like meringue or an angel food cake, if you get the least speck of yellow in it, it won't work.
Oh,
I'm getting hungry. Can you make me a lemon meringue pie, Chris? You always laugh at that, Bill. I notice.
I know. There's another way to do it where she said she puts it in a cup and then takes her fingers and dips it out. Well, I have egg separators here, but the wife, she used to take the egg and just break and just pour it over her fingers in her hand and hold her hand over a saucer or a bowl or something and then do the same thing. Wipe it off instead of reach for it. Just crack the egg and pour it into the across your three fingers of your hand. Four fingers and it'll hold it right.
Some people can pour it from shell to shell, like when they separate the shell in half.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And I have done that, but you take a risk of if you have any little points on that shell, it may break your yolk.
Right. So, but the egg separators work real good. I have one here. Well, we had one here, and I have it, and I used it the other day because I was making butter cooking and only took the yolk. And it's real simple. You just I just got a cup. I put the separator over the cup and break the egg. Well, you just slowly pour it. Make sure you get it in the center of the egg separator and just let sit there for maybe 15, 20 seconds and lift it up and take your finger and make sure the white is wiped off the bottom and you saved it. Or are you going to do it and pour the yolk in? They work perfect.
Are they expensive, these eggs?
No.
I don't know. I bought one probably 30 years ago for 49 cents.
You can probably buy them now for less than $3.
Yeah, because the prices went up, but I mean, you know.
Inflation.
Yeah, inflation. Nothing's like it was. You used to buy a Snicker for a nickel, and it's bigger than it is now for a dollar and a half. You know what I'm saying?
Is it me that's under the impression of maybe I've been watching too much QVC, but I think the QVC even talked about selling an egg separator on one of their shows. I'm not sure what, but I can swear I saw that once.
Well, you probably did. I don't know.
Oh, they probably sell electric ones.
Well, they may now.
Got some way, right?
Got some recipes worked up for this week?
Well, I had said we were going to talk about appetizers. Somebody had asked about appetizers. So I think that this week and next week, I'm going to do appetizer recipes since people are getting ready for Christmas or whatever and New Year's and so forth. So this first one is for sweet and sour cocktail wieners. And it's one that Mom used to make, and we all really liked it. 2 pounds of cocktail wieners. Now, what we used is little Smokies. 4 to 5 regular hot dogs sliced in about thirds. 2 12-ounce bottles of chili sauce. 2 15-and-a-quarter-ounce cans of crushed chunked pineapple undrained. That's pineapple chunks undrained. 1/2 cup of brown sugar. 1/4 cup of chopped onion, which is optional. 1 tablespoon of lemon juice and 5 tablespoons of preserves, any kind you want. She used to use peach. And what you do is you boil all of your wieners, your cocktail and your hot dogs, for 3 minutes, and then you drain them and let them cool. You mix all the other ingredients and you heat it till it bubbles. You can do that on the stove or you can do it in a slow cooker. And you add all of your cocktail wieners and your hot dogs and you stir them enough to coat them really well. And you put all of that in the refrigerator and marinate it overnight. And the next morning, you put it in your slow cooker and you just heat it till it's heated thoroughly and you serve it warm. You usually use like a slotted spoon or whatever, and people just dip it out on a plate. And if you want it to be sweeter, you can always use another 2 or 3 tablespoons of preserves. But we liked it the way it was.
I'll beat Jeff. Send it to me when you get it made.
By the way, I do have the podcast number for those listening to the Conversation Station. If you want to go into the podcast menu, it's podcast 7, number 7 for the Coffee Club.
So it's 427. Would you press on the main menu?
No, you hit 4, and I believe it's 2, and the podcast number is 7. And please correct me if I'm wrong about that one. But
that sounds right. That sounds right. 427.
I want to thank Scott for sending me that text message.
So that's another resource. If you don't want to download it, you can listen to it right there.
For a week or so. Right, because they're only keeping the most recent episodes. So.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Chris also posts these to our mailing list that you can go to Legend Oldies and sign up for here on, so you can get the recipes and things like that. It's not a very heavily publicized or used mailing list, but it's still there to where you can get recipes and things like that.
And it's on the website as well. You can go to the website and it'll take you right there to subscribe as well. So,
and I have another one for marinated crackers. The thing I like about these is you can make them you can make everything the night before. This is the same way you can with the cocktail wieners. And especially if you're working, that comes in handy, because we used to take this kind of stuff to the office all the time and we could make it the day before. But this one is called marinated crackers. And when I first heard about it, I thought, well, that's gross. But anyway, it's 6 cups of oyster crackers, which for those of you who had never seen them, because I hadn't, they taste nothing like oysters. It's more the shape. That's approximately 1 package. 1 envelope of ranch style dressing mix. We always used Hidden Valley, and you just leave it dry. 1 cup of vegetable oil, 1 teaspoon garlic powder, 1 teaspoon dill weed, 1 teaspoon lemon pepper, and you just gently mix all of that in a great big sealable thing. Like we used to use a big Tupperware cake store for layer cakes because it was round. And what you do is you just walk by every 30 minutes to an hour. You try to do it every 30 minutes for a while. And you just walk by and just lay it on its side and give it a spin and keep all that stuff mixed up until all of your oil is absorbed. And they're really good. I mean, they're not greasy or anything. They sound like they would be, but they're not. They're good.
Don't they get soggy?
No, they don't get soggy at all.
And if you don't see them as oyster crackers, you might see them as oysterettes. They're the same things, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. We had them when I was a kid. I used to love them.
I've seen that same recipe done with pretzels, but I've never made it. But no, you would think they would get soggy, but they don't.
Why not? Oyster crackers don't get soggy. You put them in soup.
That's right. I used to put them in soup all the time, but I put them in chicken noodle soup. I used to love it. You're bringing back some memories from me, Bill.
Or tomato soup with another one.
But it's a really nice recipe because it's easy. You don't even have to cook it or anything. So it's just something you can, if you have the stuff, you can just throw it together the night before and run by.
That's one Jeff can do.
Yeah, turn it every once in a while. And
you know, that you're right about that, Jennifer. Even my weak hands can handle that.
Well, you could have done the magic bars I gave last week.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're never going to let me live this down, guys, you know.
Now, could the sweet and sour dog there, could you substitute meatballs, or would you really have to?
Well, I guess you could. There is a recipe for meatballs. I've got to find it. It's really good. It uses chili sauce and something. I forget what the second ingredient is, but it's a 3-ingredient thing. You use the frozen meatballs and chili sauce and one other thing, and I forget what it is, but they are really good. There used to be one with mustard and grape jelly. That sounds awful, but it wasn't bad.
Mike, the meatballs you can do real easy too. If you like them barbecued, my daughter picks these all the time when they have something down at church. You take your meatballs, you put them in a slow cooker, you put them in there frozen, and then you pour in a whole 8-ounce bottle of barbecue sauce, stir them around a little bit, and put on low and just let them cook there for about 2-3 hours. They're terrific. Any barbecue sauce.
Right, whatever your preference. Well, that's good. There's a lot of good tasty ideas here.
You can actually use that same barbecue sauce idea with the cocktail wieners, too. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that just not too long ago, and it was good.
Now, why do you use both type cocktails? You use the cocktail wieners, the small ones and the large ones. Is that just for variety?
Just Kristen? For variety, yeah. It's just for variety.
I'll tell you, one day we're going to all have to get together at Chris and Dave's house and just have a nice party. I think that would be...
sure, nice of them to invite us.
That's right. It's nice of you to invite us, Dave.
Okay, the other ingredient on the meatballs, the one with the chili sauce, is grape jelly. I just got a text.
Oh, interesting.
I knew Donna would know what it was.
I was going to mention, Christy said you were talking about any barbecue sauce, but there are some barbecue sauce that don't do well with a lot of heat. They'll break down, and you have to be a little careful of that. I'm not sure brand name wise which one don't, which one do, but we use a lot of times we use open pit, which I suppose isn't real authentic barbecue sauce, but I think it's awful good.
I like my Sweet Baby Ray's, but
I do.
Sweet Baby Ray's very good.
I do too. Well, okay. There's also one called Bullseye. Go ahead, Shirley.
I was going to ask Chris, have you made the crackers?
Oh, lots of times, yes.
I was going to tell you that I know a woman that makes those, and they're absolutely excellent. If anybody has any skepticism about them, and I mean, they just stay really nice for some time, and I've even frozen them before.
I've made them a number of times. Mom made them first.
Gone for a period of time, and I had a bunch left over where she gave them to me. I've actually frozen them, and you can take them out of the freezer, and you just can't even tell.
Mom, the first time Mom made them, I thought, well, that sounds nasty. That's gross, but they were good.
Oh, I think they're wonderful.
They are.
And you're the only other person I know. Most people actually bake them, but the woman I know that makes them does them just pretty much like you do.
No, we never bake them.
That's unusual to see a recipe, like that. Most people put them in the oven for a short time, or I've seen recipes similar to that. But she does them just like you do. This woman I know is like 92 or 93 years old, and she just made us some about a month ago, and they're wonderful.
Oh, Chris, this is Bill. One day I'll have to get your email address. My daughter and I are going to try a recipe. It's called a saltine cracker candy.
Tell them that Tanya put some brown gravy mix in.
Eight notifications.
Disturbed by an iPhone.
Yeah, I heard.
Tanya puts brown gravy in with her sprout of gravy mix.
But yeah, I was going to say, I'll have to get your email one day and send you a recipe, because we're going to try, I don't know if you've heard it called a saltine cracker candy. And you lay like 35 crackers in a 9x13 pan, and somehow you melt chocolate and other stuff goes in. I don't have the recipe in front of me. And then you cool it in the refrigerator and you just break it off in chunks.
That sounds good.
I'm going to have to try it, because we saw it. It's called a saltine cracker.
And after New Year's, we'll have a show on the Coffee Club called the Weight Watchers Show.
Well, I've already baked 42 dozen butter cookies already.
And are you sending them all over the country, Bill?
We got a lot of friends that come by, and they're just used to wife. The wife used to make them all the time, and I used to take them down to work, the butter cookies and a couple other style of cookies. And we used to make, when she was living, we made close to 200-300 dozen cookies. And I'd take them down, and it got to the point where the club I worked at finally told me to stop bringing them, because the club at the holiday time gave out free cookies and drinks in the lobby for the members. Well, all the members come out and get my cookies and then go back and get their drinks. And they finally said, will you stop bringing them?
I guess I'm going to have to start baking. It's just not Christmas. It just doesn't seem like Christmas unless Mom's made fudge and Mexican wedding cake and sugar cookies and all that stuff.
Sounds like good, good, good stuff. Where do you guys go to find your recipes, you internet users? Do you go to use your devices, or do you search on the web? How do you find your recipes?
I use allrecipes.com, but I also lately been using both Lady A and Google, because they both can pull up recipes and they'll pause and let you either do it. You can either do it with the ingredients if you want to write them down.
I've got 35 ring notebooks of recipes here written in Braille that over the period of years, of course, I was married 56 years, over the period of years, we'd take the recipes and, well, plot at my wife, she got them off of the TV from Mr. Food. She'd get them off of all these different talk shows where they show recipes and stuff. And I'd come home at night and she said, tape off Mr. Food recipe. So I put on a cassette tape. Then when I got time, I'd transcribe them into Braille. So I got about 35 three-ring notebooks.
And is it every time you got a Mr. Food recipe, every time you open the book and it's a Mr. Food recipe, it goes, it's so good.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. the pages talk, right?
A lot of recipes out there, a lot of ways to get them. So,
oh yeah, right. I've used online before. I haven't tried Mrs. A yet for her recipe.
Oh, Bill, she will keep you busy. She'll give you all kinds of recipes you could ever want.
Mm.
I know Google will pause when it does it. I don't know if Mrs. A does that or not.
Oh, you mean so you can write them down or what?
Or you can, do a step, go to the next step.
Oh, I don't know if she works that way. Use Google more. I haven't tried it yet. We could throw her one and see what she does, but I end up setting off everyone's Lady A.
Yeah. You know, this doesn't have, when we were talking about shipping and all that stuff earlier, I just thought of this. The one neat thing I think I forgot to mention about the Costco site is if you can have an order and you can ship it to multiple addresses, and it'll let you put a different address for each item in your order if you wanted to. Okay. I think that's kind of cool.
What do they charge for shipping, though?
They don't charge anything for shipping if you're a member.
Oh, free shipping. Oh, yeah. Okay. From America. Because I know, just curiosity, price of things. The other day, well, Bill knew, so I mean Gene, worked cool. His brother has a pecan tree, so he's been shelling pecans. He called me the other day, and he said he had some people up in Indiana that want some pecans. So he put some in a bag and put them in a box. There's 17 ounces of pecan. Cost him $8.95 to ship them.
I guess that's not too bad in the scheme of things, but the way prices go, well, it looks like we're about ready to wrap it up here. And thank everybody for their participation. Panel, you did an outstanding job today. Everybody was engaged. We really hit it out of the ballpark today. Thanks, everyone.